And what we started off is the last days requiring higher consecration. And the word was, the scripture was Acts chapter number 2 verse 17. We all know that. And often we pray that scripture. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter number 2 verse 17. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 2:17 and hold on. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So there is a language of scripture used there. And that is what the Bible says. In the last days it will happen. And it already started to manifest in the Acts of the Apostles. That was the start of the last days. As per what? Because they started to speak in tongues. And Peter interpreted that as, this is what Joel has said, and that has come to manifestation, that your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. Now, honestly, if we look at it, we do not see that happening in the church today. We do not see our young men seeing visions. We do not see our sons and daughters prophesying. We do not see the old men having dreams consistently. And we do not see the church operating in that, because we have not understood the prerequisite to it. We have not understood the revelation in that scripture. There is a revelation hidden in that scripture, I told you on Friday. And the revelation is hidden in the language the scripture is using. It just does not say generally, I will pour out on my spirit on all flesh and all of them will prophesy, see visions and dreams. But it categorizes people. It says what? The children shall prophesy. The young men shall see visions and the old men shall dream dreams. It categorizes people and it categorizes the type of anointing that will come upon the class of people. Okay? Now, old men does not mean 70 and 65 years old people are the old men. Or young men do not mean that 30, 40, 35 years old people are the young men or 25 years old people are the young men. There is a revelation in that. And the revelation can be defined through the cost of consecration. Okay, through the cost of consecration. Now, I told you consecration. Before I go ahead, I want to lay the foundation. So, some of the things I will recap that I spoke on Friday. So, consecration is required for the Holy Spirit to come upon a flesh and manifest the revelations and utterances from God through prophecies, visions, and dreams. Consecration is required for the Holy Spirit to come upon a flesh. And the language that the Bible is using there of sons and daughters, young men and old men, is the reason it is using that language, because it is defining and differentiating the class of people who are consecrating themselves unto the Lord. That is found when we read Leviticus 27. And 1 John, where the same language of the old men, young men, and the children are used. So let's go quickly to Leviticus 27, because I see some people who are not there on Friday. And if I just start off, continue the sermon, you will not understand anything. So just turn with me to Leviticus 27 and let's go to the table of Leviticus 27, the column table that we have to make for us to understand what is consecration. Okay, Leviticus 27. And let's, those who were not there on Friday, I ask you to make a column so that we can understand the sermon tonight. Okay? And those who were already there, who have made it, can just refer to it. Leviticus 27. Make a column. There should be three columns. The first column title should be age group. The second column title should be male. The third column title should be female. Those are the title, age group, male and female. And then let's start off now. Verse number one. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates by a vow certain persons to the Lord, according to your valuation, if your valuation is of a male from 20 years old up to 60 years. So the first point in the first column, age group is 20 to 60 years old. That is the category of young men. Okay. So when someone wants to consecrate people to the Lord, it's showing or it's explaining how we should consecrate. So for people from 20 year old to 60 years old, that is the young men group. Okay. What should happen? Then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary. So put down 50 in the male column. If there is a male between 20 to 60 years old, the cost of consecration that that male has to pay is how many shekels of silver? 50 shekels, 50. And if it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. So put down 30 shekels in the female column. Okay, that is the valuation for young males and female. 50 for the males, 30. How much? Yes, 30 for the female. Next, verse number 5. And if from 5 years old to 20 years, then your valuation for a male shall be 20 shekel. Now the second point in the first column, age group, how much? How much? 5 to 20. These are the children. Okay? These are the children. So the second point, the first column, 5 to 20. Okay? For a male, what is the cost to be paid? 20 shekels. So write down 20 shekels in the male column. And for a female, 10 shekels. So write down 10 shekels in the female column. Verse number 6. And if from a month old to 5 years, third point, these are babies, write down. From a month old to 5 years old. If a baby needs to be consecrated, then your valuation for that baby should be how much? 5 shekels of silver. Very negligible, 5 shekels. So write down for a male, in the male column, 5 shekels. For a female, in the female column, 3 shekels. If a female baby needs to be consecrated, 3 shekels needs to be paid. Verse number 7. And if from 60 years old and above, if it is a male, then your valuation shall be how many? 15 shekels. So the fourth point, the age group is how many? How much? 60 years above. Those are the old men. The old men. The fourth point is the old men in the age group. The cost of valuation for a male in the old category is how many? 15 shekels. And for a female, it is 10 shekels. All right. So now look at your column. Look at your column. Now, which is the highest price for consecration? Which category? Which is the highest price of consecration for which person? Look at your column and tell me. Which is the highest price of consecration? Which person in that column?
20 to 60.
Yes. For a young man, the consecration price to be paid is the highest, 50 shekels. He is paying the highest price of consecration, 50 shekels. Now, we have, and what is the lowest price of consecration? It is for the infant. It is for the infant, that is
female.
A month old, yes, female infant. A month old to 5 years old, that is 3 shekels for the female and 5 shekels for the male. Now, what we have to look at it is from a spiritual perspective. We have to look at it. This is the revelation of what Acts is saying, what Joel has prophesied, that your Sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And these gifts will come upon those as per the consecration cost or as per the levels of consecration they have consecrated themselves unto the Lord. And the levels of consecrations are defined as per the cost that they have paid. Now listen to me, okay? The revelation of it, I am just recapping. I've already taken that on Friday, but I cannot go ahead without laying the basis tonight. So just let me recap. And even this is the benefit for those who are not there, they would understand this now. Now, the revelation of it is, this is the physical valuation of the consecration cost as per the shekels of sanctuary. These are the physical cost. The consecration is not literally as per the age, but the price you pay decides which category you fit into. Do we understand that? The consecration is not literally as per your age. So yesterday, I because I did not wanted to say the age of some people, some women, they get pissed off. But I asked the age, and Sister Pushpa told her age is 65. So physically, where she should fit? Physically, she should fit in the 60 above age group, old men. And how much is the cost for a female there? 10 shekels of silver. But that her age does not decide which category she will fit into. She can be 65 years old, but what she has, the cost that she has paid can be above 50. So she fits into the young men category. And the portion of the last day's anointing that shall come upon her will not be as per her age, will be as per the cost that she has paid to follow Christ. Are we together until now? Hallelujah. Amen. Do we understand that? Oh, Sister Pushpa came in. We were talking about you. So she is, hallelujah. She is, though she is 65 years old, and physically, technically, she fits into the category of the old men, above 60. And female, that is 10 shekels. But her age does not decide which category she fits into. What decides which category she fits into is the cost that she has paid. If she has paid a cost above 50, she fits into the category of the young men. Your young men shall see visions. So Pushpa is a young man in the spirit realm. There are some people who are 60 years old, but the cost they have paid is 3 shekels. So they are still categorized into the baby. And babies are not categorized in Acts chapter number 2. There are children, there are young men, and there are old men. Are we together until now? Hallelujah. So the church needs to see the manifestation of the pouring out of the Spirit on all flesh. And that will be manifested when the church understands the cost of consecration. We don't understand the cost of consecration. As per what Acts and Joel is saying, only if young men shall see visions, but you will see Moses, who was above 80 years old, he saw visions. He spoke to God face to face. That is above vision. Now, vision is the greatest gift that young men can have. Hallelujah. And doesn't matter if you are a male or a female, or if you are 65, if you are 55, if you are 30, what matters is what cost you are paying to be consecrated. Hallelujah. Are we together? Amen. So stay with me. There is another scripture that uses the same language. So I am confirming the revelation through the scripture, what I'm teaching you about Acts. Okay. Another scripture, let me go there and then we will go ahead with the sermon tonight. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 12 to 14. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 12 to 14. And it says, 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 12 to 14. Now, see the writings of John. When a person has the apostolic anointing, the apostolic anointing comes when higher consecration cost is paid, and And that is a portion of anointing that enables a person in the visions. Any which ways, we will come to the visions and dreams later. But when apostles teach, they do not go to the Google and or read a theological book or take sermons from their college seminary. They don't teach like that. When apostles teach, first of all, before even an apostle starts to teach, they evaluate the condition and the spiritual age group of the people they are going to release the word to. Okay? And then, if the age group is babies, they teach on the level of a baby. If the age group is old men, they teach on that level. If the age group is young men, they teach on that level. That's why Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Corinthians. He said, many things I want to tell you, but I cannot tell you because you are still babes. So I have to feed you with milk. But your time has come for solid food, but you have not grown to that level, to that age group. Why? They are not going to that age group because they are not paying the cost. They are not paying the cost. Hallelujah. So that is a spiritual age group set upon people. And then the last days anointing, the portion of the anointing that will come upon people will be as per that age group. Okay? Now, look at what John is writing. What Apostle John is writing. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 12. I write to you, little children. I told you to underline little children last time. Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Okay? This is what he writes to the who? Little children. You know which kind of little children are they? 5 months, a month old to 5 years old. So he writes to the little children, what? Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. That is what he is telling them. Then I write to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Who are the fathers? The old group, the old men and women above 60. So the language he uses, I write to you, fathers, you have known him who is from the beginning. A little higher revelation. Then I write to you, young men. Young men fall under the category of 20 to 60 who have paid 50 shekels. And 50 shekels and above, it goes young male and female. Okay, stay with me. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Who is the strongest now? The little children, the fathers, or the young men? The young men. Because they have not only known that their sins are forgiven, they have not only known that the Father who is from the beginning, but they have applied, paid the cost, and they are overcoming the wicked one. I write to you, young men, because what? You have overcome the wicked one. So he is categorizing his teachings and his writings to classes of people. Then it says, I write to you little children because you have known the Father. Which little children? The ones from 5 years old to 20 years old. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. You have known the Father. Then, verse number 14. I have written to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, past tense. That is right here is written. I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So again, tell me who is the strongest in this category, the young men. Then comes the fathers. Then comes the little children. Then comes the babies, the another class of little children. Now, do you understand the scripture? Hallelujah. So. The portion, we are living in the last days. Can everyone remove your mute and say, I am living in the last days? Everyone say that, I am living in the last days.
I am living in the last days.
Yes. And because we are living in the last days, we have to understand which age group we fall into. Okay? And God wants, it does not matter whether you are female or male. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, but it will be as per the levels of consecration. You can be a 60, 65 years old female, but if you pay the cost of consecration, you will be used like a young man and you will operate in the greatest gift of visions. How vision is the greatest gift, I will come to that when I come to that part of the sermon. But it's the will of God. Let me prophesy the will of God upon you. It's the will of God that every one of you in this place should be categorized under the category of a young man. Should be categorized under the category of the young man. That is the will Amen. Of God.
Amen. Yeah.
That is the will of God for you. Okay? There are Christians who are old in the Lord. I mean, they have been a Christian for many years, but they have not paid anything. What they have paid is, sometimes I go to the church, sometimes I read the Bible a little bit, and my pastor prays for me, and that's it. You have not paid any cost, bro, and that's why you are still a babe. You are not even falling in the category of the end time, of the last day's anointing it will fall upon. Why do you need the last day's anointing? The answer is in what John is writing, because the one who is consecrated and who has paid the price. Oh, we have paid the price. You will not suffer, because what you will become is an overcomer. We will come to that. You will become an overcomer. The one who are consecrated unto the Lord will be an overcomer in the last days. Amen. Hallelujah. But before going to the overcomer part of the sermon, of the message, let us look at the people in the Bible, the servants of God, the servants of God, the prophets in the Bible, and let us look at the cost they had to pay. Let us look at the cost they had to pay. Last time we already looked at Moses. We will not go to Moses. On Friday we looked at Moses. Let's go and look at Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. We will look at some verses and then we will go ahead and look at the servants in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And verse number 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. That verse tells us about Samuel's childhood and Samuel's youth, that he was not under the care of his mother. He was not under the care of his father. He was not under the care of his parents. He had to pay a cost of consecration to operate in the anointing he was operating in. He had to be separated from his family from a very young age. He did not get the benefit of going outside and playing football with the other people. He had to give that up from a very young age. He did not have the opportunity to enjoy the things that other children enjoyed in his age group. He had to be in the temple under the priest that the Lord had appointed. The cost that Samuel had to pay. The same thing you will see in the life of John the Baptist. He was the one who was the Elijah to come. Jesus said that. He was the one who prepared the way for the Lord, for Jesus Christ. He was the one who baptized Jesus. But when you will study his life, I don't have time. But from the age, from a very, very tender age, he was in the wilderness. What he ate? Locusts and wild honey. What he wore, we know that in the Bible. We know that because that has been taught in the Sunday school. What he wore? He wore those the clothes made out of animal skin. And he lived there. He had to pay a cost. Do we see that? Samuel had to pay a cost of consecration. Hallelujah. The reason you are sitting in this place, because God has chosen you out of the crowd. Because God has chosen you out of the conventional people who are doing work and setting up family and getting retired and all those things. God has chosen you to be a representative for him, to serve him. And for those he chooses, he leads them into different ways. Every person's consecration cost, the way will not be the same. You will be asked to pay the cost in different areas of your life as per the call that God has brought upon your life. And not only the call, it is also because of the anointing that God wants to pay, God wants to pour out in the last days. Samuel had to sacrifice many things, beloved. He had to pay the cost to be that prophet. He had to pay the cost. Okay. Even John the Baptist. Okay. Extreme cost were paid by other prophets like Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 16, verse number 1 and 2. Let's go there. I'm picking up some scriptures just to show you examples that these people, Jeremiah saw visions, Ezekiel saw visions, Samuel heard the Lord. That is a part of visions, by the way. And all those things they operated in because they paid the sanctuaries of Shekel to be consecrated and to be categorized in the young men. Jeremiah chapter number 16, verse number 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 16, 1 and 2. The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons and daughters in this place. So, these are the consecration cost God commands people to pay in order for them to know God, in order for them to have the anointing, in order for them to have the anointing so that they can overcome. Hallelujah. You see that? You will not have a family, Jeremiah. You will not marry. You know, nowadays, how terrible it is for most of the Christians to stay alone.
Mm-hmm.
How can they practice the secret place if you cannot detach yourself from people? Stay alone. I know so many people I talk to. Oh, brother, I want to have someone to talk to every day. And if they don't get a person to talk to express their heart to, one of the ladies went online on the secular website to search for people whom she can share her stories with, because she said, I cannot stay alone. Some of them are around 40 years, 45 years, and they said, oh, Brother Rahul, you are just young, because when you come to our age, you will suffer. I said, I will never suffer loneliness because the presence of God satisfies me. I will never suffer loneliness because the presence Amen. Of God satisfies me.
Hallelujah.
So, for you to know God, for you to know Him as He is, you enter a season of isolation. God said to Jeremiah, you will not have a family like others are having. You will not have a wife like the other prophets. You will not have children like the other prophets. You will serve my call. Oh God, that consecration cost, it's not everyone's cup of tea. I'm telling you. All those things are not everyone's cup of tea. God, it's crucifying things. Literally, it's crucifying things. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm telling you, I need to tell you these things. I'm not scaring you, but I'm telling you. I'm not saying that leave your clothes and leave everything, food and drinks, and go on a mountain and meditate. No, I'm not saying that. I am saying you're the Lord, and He will lead you to pay some cost. The Holy Spirit will ask you to pay some cost, some consecration cost. It's different in different kinds of people, as per what God wants them to do, as per what God created you to do. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Okay, people are back.
Yes.
Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel now. Ezekiel chapter number 24. Ezekiel chapter number 24. Let's go there. And hold your heart. I don't want you to be scared. It's about Ezekiel, okay? Listen to this now. What Ezekiel had to pay. Every servant of God, you will see them. They had to pay the cost. Ezekiel 24:15 to 25. Ezekiel 24:15 to 25. Also the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, behold, I will take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Now what God is saying to this prophet? He's saying, I will take away the desires of your desire of your eyes. God is not saying clearly what he will take away from Ezekiel. But he is saying to Ezekiel, I will take away from you the desire of your eyes. But when it is taken away, I will make you like, you will not even mourn. You will not even cry. Then what happened? Verse number 17. Sigh in silence. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet. And do not cover your lips and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. My God. Did you hear that scripture, people of God? If you are there here in this place, can you say amen? Just amen. Amen. Okay.
Hallelujah.
In the morning, my God, my God.
Very scary.
Very scary, but it's the truth. No one will teach you those things. No one will teach you those things, but it's in the Bible. We are not going and reading those scriptures. That is the cost of consecration. In the morning, what you will do? Let me ask myself, what will I do if that happens? Will I curse God? Oh God, you are a bad God. But Ezekiel kept quiet because it was a command from the Lord. My God. Those people you read in the Bible, those prophecies from which we know about God, they paid a high cost to write those things. I'm telling you. You should thank God for those prophets. You should thank God. They paid a high cost. In the morning, God told Ezekiel, I'm going to do something today with you. In the morning, he told, I will take away from you the desires of your eye. But what you should do is sigh in silence. You will not cry. You are not allowed to mourn. You should put your sandals on your feet and go out and give a message to the people that I want you to give. And when evening came, Ezekiel's wife died. Ezekiel's wife died. The next morning, Ezekiel said, I did as I was commanded. He kept quiet and obeyed the Lord. The question is, if you were Ezekiel, will you obey the Lord or will you become bitter against the Lord? Ezekiel obeyed the Lord. I'm telling you, following Jesus is not easy. It's not, you know, some people say supernatural. There are many ministries by the name supernatural. Every day is supernatural. Signs, miracles, wonders, this and that. Every day is not like that. There are costs of consecration. And I'm teaching you the truth. I'm teaching you the truth. In the evening, the wife died. But Ezekiel said, I did as I was commanded. Verse 19. And the people said to me, will you not tell us what these things signify to us that you behave so? Then I answered them, the word of the Lord came to me saying, speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary. Your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and daughters whom you left behind shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat man's bread of sorrow. Your turbans shall be on your heads, and your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another. Thus Ezekiel is a sign to you. According to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord God. For a prophet to bring a prophetic word, there is a lot of pain that prophet has to go through. There is cost that the prophet has to pay for this prophetic word to come to the people of Israel. And God made Ezekiel a sign unto them. Like God made his only son die on the cross for you and me. Hallelujah. Remember this. When you surrender to the Lord, be careful if you say, I surrender to you, Lord. You are completely under God's authority. He will use you to be a sign and a wonder to people. He will use you as he wants because you said, I surrender. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Hallelujah. You don't have to be look at it at a, as a negative thing. No, 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 no. I am telling you, there are eternal rewards that God will give his people. And more than eternal rewards, these are the kind of people who will overcome Satan. These are the kind of people who will overcome Satan. Are we together? Look at the cause they have been. Okay. Nowadays, Christians are so fragile. Oh, my God. Oh, I asked God for this and he did not give me. I am not praying now. I am not going to the meeting now. I am not doing this now because God did not do this for me. You are considered in the category of babes. And you will suffer in the last days. Because you will not be able to overcome the wicked one. God wants to make you strong. I'm telling you, beloved. See the cost Ezekiel paid. See the cost Jeremiah paid. See the cost Moses paid. See the cost Samuel paid. They paid the cost in different areas, but they paid the cost. They paid the cost. Are you ready to pay the cost for consecration? To receive the portion of God's anointing on your life. Hallelujah. Let's look at Abraham. Genesis. We know that, but let's look at it. Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Is that not a sacrifice? That is a cost he had to pay. Get out. I mean, how can I get out of New York, Lord? I earned all my life. How can I get out of California? How can I see what happened there now? How can I get out of there? I earned all my life, all my properties, your settlements or your businesses, my money is coming from here. How can I leave everything and get out? But Abraham got out. Abraham left. He paid a cost. Hallelujah. For you to follow God, you pay a cost. For you need you hallelujah. You pay a cost, the cost of consecration. And the cost that you pay categorizes you in the sections of which class of men and women are you. Another scripture, Genesis chapter number 22. Abraham had to pay cost in his life. Genesis 22, verse number 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Yes, God commands his people to pay the cost. And he took Isaac without asking questions. He took Isaac. Hallelujah. So, do we now understand the consecration cost, what it means? So, these are the shekels of the sanctuary that we need to pay for in order for us to be consecrated. The shekels of the sanctuaries is translated as sacrifices unto the Lord, living sacrifices unto the Lord that we make. Hallelujah. Okay. So, Apostle Paul paid the cost. I don't have time. Peter paid the cost. The reason why the Bible says these guys turn the world upside down, it's just not a thing to look upon like a show, but they actually paid the cost. Peter, we don't know if Peter got to see his wife again in his life. He had a family. They most of them were married apostles. Paul was not married because he had to pay a higher cost. And people think, one of the ladies came and tell, oh, you want to be like Paul. I said, I don't, but you want to be like Paul. And she said to me, Paul was another man. He did not have desires. He did not, because he was this, he was a Pharisee. He was brought up in that way. I said, how do you know he did not have desire? I know every man has a desire to get married. Every man. But he considered the suffering of Christ and he rejected the pleasures of life in order for him to be used exactly as Jesus wanted to use him. Hallelujah. He paid the cost. There are some who pay the cost. There are some who do not pay the cost. That's why the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. The few chosen ones are the ones who pay the cost. I know numerous people. I know God called them, but they did not pay the cost because it was inconvenient for them. Because they did not pay the cost, they did not receive the portion of the anointing that God wanted to give them. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Can we go to the next one now? Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The consecrated ones. Now here is the benefit. The consecrated ones are the overcomers. The consecrated ones are the overcomers. You, the cost you are paying is not in vain. You are getting power. You are getting power, I am telling you. The power that even you can defeat Lucifer. The power, that kind of a power from God. You are getting anointing from God. That you will see others fall in the last days, but you shall not fall. That is the way you will operate, because you will become overcomers. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, John said. You, the word of God abide in you, and what you have overcome the wicked one. How many of you want to overcome the wicked one? Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. And they overcame him. Who? The dragon, the Satan, the system. You know, now I have taught a lot about the dragon system, about the beast system. I have taught a lot. They shall overcome that system. They shall overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. And very important, they did not love their lives to the death. That means consecrated. That means paying the cost. Consecrated vessels shall overcome the dragon system. Consecrated vessels shall overcome Satan. They shall overcome Satan. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Let us take some time and let us read through Revelation chapter number 2 and 3. Let us read through that, okay? Let us take some time and read through Revelation chapter number 2 and 3. What is Revelation chapter number 2 and 3? The message of Jesus, the letters of John to the churches, to the seven churches of Asia. And there is one similar thing in all the letters. That is he who overcomes. Okay? That is what? He who overcomes. That is the last day message of Jesus to the churches. Revelation chapter number 2 verse 1 onwards. Let me read through all the scriptures. Revelation chapter number 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things which says he who holds the seven stars in his hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Very good church, very nice church. But nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, underline please, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I don't want to go into every technicalities of the meaning of the tree of life, paradise, Nicolaitans. I'm not going into those things. I'm just plainly reading the scripture to understand who are the overcomers. Who are the overcomers? When a warning comes to a church, the word of God comes to a church. Like Jesus is saying, this is what is wrong. You have lost the first love. They get right with the Lord by sacrificing what they were doing, letting go of what they were doing wrong and getting right with the first love to the primary place of devotion. They are the overcomers. Even obedience requires sacrifice. Obedience requires a cost to pay. Hallelujah. I don't know if it was in K's meeting or in this normal meeting, but I think it was in K's meeting that God showed me a vision and I saw eagles taking the messages. And what the Lord Jesus told me about it is, I will send prophets, apostles to churches, like John wrote letters to the churches from 2025. And they will warn the people with the direct words of Jesus Christ, like John is warning them.
And hallelujah.
Yes, prophets are going to go into churches, uninvited prophets, uninvited apostles. Pastors did not invite them. They will go, give the word, leave. And those who are ready to obey, let go of the wrongs and get corrected. Jesus says, he who overcomes will have the fruit of heaven. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Let's go ahead. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And that is a deep thing, but we will not go there, but just read it out. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah. Overcomers are the one who have paid, who are paying the cost. And what is Jesus searching in these two churches? Now we have read about two churches. Jesus is looking for who? Overcomers. Jesus is looking for those who are paying the cost. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember the five virgins? The five had oil. The other five did not have enough oil. And they were saying, give us your oil, to the other five virgins who had oil. They said, we will not give our oil because we paid our cost and bought the oil. We cannot give it to you. Otherwise, we will also will not be able to enter it. Each one, I cannot buy oil for you, brothers and sisters. You need to pay the cost and buy your own oil. We know that, right? That parable. And they said, go and buy oil from the market. But the time was up and the door was closed. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is, pastors are not teaching this in the church. Pastor, by saying that, I am not glorifying myself that I am teaching, but I am saying to you for the sake of understanding that this the doctrine that God wants to teach is not been uttered in our world. It's not been uttered. You need to, I cannot give you oil. My oil, we cannot give, we cannot exchange that oil. The oil is comes when you pay the price. Are we understanding that? Let's go to the next church.
Yeah.
John chapter number 2, verse number 12. Next church. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas, my faith, was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. What, see that church? Even though this faithful servant of God was killed, they did not leave the faith. Verse number 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone, a name, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Hallelujah. Again, to him who overcomes, when my word comes, you obey, you let go of the things that I don't like, I hate, which are a sin, disobedience, you let go, you pay the cost, and you become the overcomers, and you have rewards from me. The rewards of heaven are real. Hallelujah. Amen. Next one.
Amen.
18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. As for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. You see that? Even allowing false doctrine, the last two churches, this church and the last Pergamos church, Thyatira church, the church allowed false doctrine to be infiltrated in the ministry, to be infiltrated in the church. And that is what Jesus was rebuking. Here is Jezebel, that Jezebel teaching people sexual immorality, to eat things sacrificed to idols. These are the common things, sexual immorality, things sacrificed to idol. Okay, let me not go into that, otherwise it will take time. But that are the common marks of false doctrine. A church where false doctrine is practiced, they will not talk about sin. They will not talk against sexual immorality, because the one who is teaching, the leader, the prophet, prophetess, whoever they are, they themselves are sexually immoral. They themselves, I know a prophet from America, and so many people follow him. While he was having a wife, he also had a girlfriend. And he said, I am having a girlfriend because my wife is not faithful. Okay, your wife, if she is not faithful, why are you in a hurry to have a girlfriend alongside when you are married? And then afterwards, that prophet's, one of the girls came, one of his ex-girlfriends came up, and now she's exposing that prophet. Those are Jezebels. A man can also be a Jezebel, I'm telling you. Not only necessarily women are Jezebel, also a man can be a Jezebel. They are Jezebels who are teaching people, and the way he talks, as if he's a master of God's mystery. Apostle Paul himself, the way he talks, the way he changes, with a very heavy voice, and with music around, and with people around saying, amen, amen, amen. Yes, prophet. Yes, teach it, preach it, this and that, and all those things. Okay, so but he has so many relationships with girls because he's sexually immoral. And once he came on the platform and said, where did God say you should not fornicate? Fornication is not even a sin, he said, that prophet said. And you know, the congregation, you can hear, wow, preach it, we want to know it. They are deceived, teaching people sexual immorality. And there are such churches. There are such prophets. They are not prophets. They were sorcerers. They turned into prophets. They have not paid the cost, I am telling you. They have not paid the cost. The one who has paid the cost will have a track record. There was a prophet who died in Nigeria. I knew I used to admire him, but God showed me his true face.
Amen.
In a dream, God showed me his true face. And in the spirit realm, I visited him, and he was accusing me. And I said, Prophet, why you are doing this? Why you are doing this? And suddenly he turned into a big greenish snake. And I woke up from the dream. And God started to show me those characteristics he has, the prophet I admired. Mm-hmm. And then I started to search, and I saw accusations, cases against him about the same things that he was doing with me in the dream, that prophet. And that prophet said, I don't have any born again experience because I was born as a prophet from my mother's womb. If someone is born as a prophet from the mother's womb, that means they are specially gifted. They are saying they don't have to pay any cost. They are specially chosen by God. They don't have to go through any process of paying the cost of consecration. That is what they are saying. And they are the children of the devil. And they are not prophets. Are we understanding? And Jesus is talking that if you listen the teachings from the one who has not paid the cost, he or she is not a consecrated vessel. They are teaching you a false doctrine, rebuking the churches. Okay, verse 21. And I gave her time to repent for her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. But hold fast to what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Wow. Some of the gifts, rewards that you get from Jesus Christ because you paid the price are authority. Rod of iron they shall get. They shall be dashed. They shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. I also have received from my father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, he who overcomes. Let's go to Revelation 3. Let us not read everything, but let us read verse number 5. Revelation 3, verse number 5. In the church of Sardis, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his name from the book of life. That is the answer for those who say, once saved, forever saved. And they are so strong-headed in that doctrine that once you accept Christ, you are definitely going to heaven. Once you accept Christ. But here, if you are definitely going to heaven, why Jesus is saying here that your name will not be blotted out from the book of life? There are chances that the names can be blotted out from the book of life. Any which ways. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Then Revelation 3 and verse number 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So what did Jesus said? Do not be afraid. In the world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And then here he says, you who overcome will sit. I will grant to sit on my throne. My God, these are not normal things. These are not normal rewards. Jesus will say, my son, come. You can take my throne. It's yours. That is the intimacy. That is the faith, the loyalty those people will have. That Jesus will not even keep back but Jesus knows that these are loyal people who have obeyed, paid the cost. They love me. Hallelujah. Consecration, the cost of consecration. Do you see that? So we read about all the seven churches, and all the seven churches, some things are common, like he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, and then he who overcomes. So who are those who overcome? who do not mix themselves with the filth and the perversity that is going on in the church, but keep themselves clean. And whenever God speaks, they obey. Hallelujah. Whenever God speaks, they obey. I'm telling you, such apostles, prophets will be persecuted, but they will arise and they will take messages to dying churches. They will, like the church of Laodicea, they thought they are rich. They thought they are clothed. They are everything. But Jesus said, though you think yourself, you are like this, but you are naked, miserable, and you need to buy from me. You need to buy from me. So that is overcomer. Those, if you consecrate yourself to the Lord, and if you pay the price, you become a overcomer of Satan's tricks, of Satan's doctrines, of Satan's filthiness. You overcome it, and you don't mix yourself. You keep yourself pure when you are consecrated. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Now, do we have time? Okay, let me cover a bit. Now, the young men, let us come back now. The highly consecrated people will see what? Visions. The old men shall dream dreams, and the children shall prophesy. So that, let me teach you dreams, visions, and prophecies. Those who will operate in visions will operate in dreams also. It's not that they will only operate in visions. But what is a vision? What is the difference between a dream and a vision? I will give you the scripture, explain you, lay the foundation, and then I will teach you in detail the next meeting. So turn with me to Numbers 12, verse number 6. Everyone, Numbers 12, verse number 6. Numbers 12, verse number 6. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. Underline that. Known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. That is the difference between a vision and a dream. Stay with me. If there is a prophet among you, what says the Lord? He says, I will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. Write it down. The knowing of God is in a vision, and the hearing from God is in dreams. The knowing of God is in what? Visions. And the hearing from God is in dreams. All right? So if God wants to speak to you, he will give you dreams. Okay? He wants to speak to you something. That's why even unbelievers can have dreams from God, because God speaks to them to bring them into the kingdom of God, or to grip them with fear. Let us see what Job says about dreams. Let us see something. In Job chapter number 33, verse number 15 to 18. Job chapter number 33, verse number 15 to 18. Are we on it? Job 33, verse number 15 to 18. In a dream, in a vision of the night, that is a dream. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opened the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. One of the category of dreams. What kind of dream Job is talking about? This guy, Job is saying, deep sleeps when it falls upon this man, and he slumbers on his bed. That means this man went to bed not thinking about God, okay? Not thinking about, oh, I want to receive some dream from God. This man went to bed for slumbering and becoming cozy and going to sleep. But suddenly, without his will, what happened? God opened his ears to seal God's instruction to him so that God can turn this man away from pride and from his own deeds, so that God can keep his soul from the pit, from hell, to warn this person through a dream. So that's why a dream is hearing from God. And sometimes a person is so busy throughout the day, never thinks about God, never seeks God. So the right time, and God says, I have to speak to him. The right time is when his conscience sleeps, his conscience fails, and he's not thinking anything. That is the time the Spirit of God takes over his heart and grips his heart with the fear of God. And he looks and he sees a dream where God is trying to speak to the man. That's why unbelievers have dreams. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was not a believer. But after the dream, what happened to him? He was afraid. The dream that he saw gripped his heart with fear. Oh my God, I want to know the interpretation. Tell me the interpretation. My heart is anxious. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. He was searching for the one who will interpret the dream. Jacob had a dream. Remember? He was not seeking for God. He was the one who deceived the brother, took the birthrights away, deceived the father. He was a deceiver going on to Laban, and on the way, he had a dream. He had a dream. So dream, the Lord speaks through dreams when the consciousness of man is at sleep. He uses dreams to reveal his word and will to those who are not continuously seeking him. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. That is one of the category. There are dreams. There are different categories of dreams, by the way. But this is the general category of dream. So, what I'm saying to you, I'm explaining the difference between a vision and dream. The knowing of God is in a vision and the hearing from God is in dreams. Can you remove your mute and say that? The knowing of God is in visions and the hearing from God is in dreams. Say that, everyone. The knowing of God is in dreams. Dreams are for the purpose of communicating the plan, the will, the words of God. But visions are different level. Visions is not about any God wants to speak to you anything, but vision is about who God is. That's it. It's deep. Let me stop here. Because if I go into these things, I will take time. So let me stop and keep. And for whom is the vision? For the young men who pay the higher cost. Dream is for the old men. Okay? And prophecies for children. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you. Lord, we see contrary, Lord. Father, we confess that in our lives, I confess that I see things contrary to what Acts chapter number 2 says, Father. The sons and daughters shall prophesy. The young men shall see visions. And the old men shall dream dreams. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you help your people, Lord. And may they, Lord, it is not even your help, but they have to decide to pay the cost. Lord, they have to decide to pay the cost of consecration, Father. In the name of Jesus, to obey, Lord, and consecration, paying the cost of consecration is in obeying your voice. And obedience requires sacrifice, Father. When we have to obey you in most of the cases, we have to give up certain things in order to obey you and walk. And that is the consecration cost that your people are paying, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, let every disobedience be casted out and let your people obey you, that there will rise up an army of overcomers, an army who has power over the devices of Satan, over the dragon, over the system of the beast, an army that is fearless, that will carry out mighty exploits. Lord, who carry the anointing for visions, for dreams, for prophecies, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that they carry the ammunitions, the weapons to destroy Satan's kingdom, Father. Hallelujah. That they are embedded into the building of the altar of the chief cornerstone, Father, who is going to destroy, Father. Oh, the idol of Satan, the system of Satan. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, let us not think, let your belief, most of them think, oh, I will live a nice life and I will not pay the cost of consecration. This Christian life is enough. No, 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 no. If you decide to enjoy now, you will suffer later. You pay the cost of consecration and you see the rewards and the eternal riches that it brings with it. And you will thank God and thank God for leading you to pay the cost. Because after seeing the rewards and the authority that the Lord Jesus himself will give unto you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Eternity will reveal the works of men. Eternity will reveal what men have done and what impact you have created against the kingdom of Satan. Hallelujah. And saving many souls, Lord, to the kingdom of Christ. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we, your people, will be obedient to your voice as Abraham was, as Ezekiel was, as Jeremiah was. Oh, Lord, as Paul was, Peter was, obedient to your voice to follow you wherever you go, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, Lord, remove, Lord, babies from the categories. I pray with this word you will shift them, Lord, into the category of young men. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. I cover each and every person here, even those who were not able to make it. I cover all of them with the blood of Jesus, and in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and we shout, Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
We will meet again. The service has not ended. We will go into announcement, and I will ask Sister Vetonia to lead us into the time of giving unto the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, and God bless you, and thank you for that powerful word. And I do recall